Morning, everyone. So we've reached our final message on the stories of Moses that we've been following for just over a year now, and we're in Exodus chapter 34 this morning. And our passage today brings us to one of those challenges that we have with Christianity, one of those things where there's two things in tension that we need to try and hold on to and live with, you know. And Christianity is kind of full of those sorts of things, isn't there? You know, we know from the Bible there's, we have free will, but God has predestined some things. We know that we worship Jesus, who is fully God and fully man. You know, we worship one God, but three persons. You know, how's that? You know, and this passage today in chapter 34 brings us face to face with another one of those tensions. And it's a God who is on the one hand both gracious and compassionate and full of mercy and loving, and yet also is a God who judges and does not leave the guilty unpunished. Particularly in terms of lifestyle choices and culture choices and the way that we live our lives. And holding those two things in tension is something that we find really, really difficult. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? In the New Testament, Paul in one place describes Jesus as full of grace and truth. And it's kind of like he's the only one who can handle both of those things and hold both of those things at the same time. And it's something that you and I, we perhaps struggle a bit with, you know, holding both of those things. Jesus could do it, but we find it really difficult. You know, it's like when you go on holiday somewhere, or you want to go to an event, and actually you discover there's two events you want to go to, but they're both happening on the same day. And you can't go to both of them. It's not humanly possible. Right? I remember many, many years ago, in the days before children, we were privileged enough to have a holiday, and we were in Florida, and we were at Cape Canaveral, you know, where the rockets launched from. And the following day, we were due to be 100 or so miles away, and another, we booked in at somewhere else, a nice part on a holiday. But when we were at Cape Canaveral, it became apparent that the next day, there was a shuttle launch, space shuttle launch, right? That shows how long ago it was. But I had this kind of, oh, no, that's just so not fair. We've got to be over there tomorrow, but I also want to see a shuttle launch, and we can't do both. And how disappointing. And, you know, for a lot of us, some parts of Christianity are like that. It's so hard holding the grace of God and living with the grace of God, and at the same time holding fast to the truth of God's word as it applies to us and as it applies to society and culture around us. And so this chapter gives us a bit of an insight into how to handle, you know, the grace of God and the truth of God in the midst of a culture that actually is at odds with God's design and the way God is asking us to live life. And so I want to look first at the grace of God. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses from verse 5 onwards, where we read this. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moses and proclaimed his name. I mean, just imagine that. The Lord came down and stood there with Moses. It's brilliant, isn't it? And fantastic. How jealous of Moses would we be, right? And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. So I want to ask you a question, first of all, and that is, when we talk about the presence of God, what do you think that is? If you had to describe being in the presence of God, what would you write? How would you describe that? What would you feel? You know, for some people, it's a sense of stillness or of daren't speak or of holiness, you know, from that's very different to everything else in our lives. For others, it's when we worship God together and we reach that point where you can almost touch, feels like you can touch God. For others, it's about falling on the floor in worship or goosebumps or whatever. And a lot of those things are emotional language. But look at what's happened here. You know, when the presence of God comes, God reveals something about who he is. When the presence of God comes, it's not a touchy-feely, fuzzy-wuzzy thing. But we get to experience something about the character of God, of who he is. And so we read here that God is compassionate and gracious. You know, this is a revelation of who he is, that how he deals with us. Not as we deserve, but with love. That God is a God who is slow to anger. The grace of God extends forgiveness time and time and time again. That he is a God who is abounding in love and faithfulness. You know, overflowing in love and faithfulness. It's like if you and I could stand next to God, there's this shower coming out of him of love and faithfulness, and it would just deluge us and land on us. That he's a God who maintains love to thousands. And it's not that thousands is a number. It just means it's a big number. And we know, you know, he maintains his love not to a select few, but to all who call on the name of Jesus now. And that he is a God who forgives wickedness, rebellion and sin time and time again. And his desire is to forgive us. And as you read these characteristics, don't they remind you of Jesus? You know, Jesus wrapped all this up in his person. This is who Jesus is. You know, he models and lives and is these very things. They find their fulfillment in him. But also we read that God does not leave the guilty unpunished. And that is still true. But Jesus has taken that punishment that we deserve. We're the guilty. He was the punished one. So we're free from that judgment. If we surrender our lives to Jesus. However, not only does Jesus take the punishment that we deserve, but if we're Christians, if we're following Jesus now, then this same presence of God is now in you and in me. If we've chosen to own the name of Jesus, then we read, you know, he puts his spirit within us. Well, you know what that means, right? It means this character of God that we read about here, God is working that out in you and me. That God is looking for you and I to be men and women who are compassionate and gracious. To be men and women who are abounding in love, who are slow to anger. To be men and women who maintain love to lots of people. And who are forgiving and forgive wickedness and sin and rebellion. That same presence of God is at work in you and I, and God is looking for us to bring those same things out of our lives. That's grace, but what about the truth part? God goes on in the next part of the chapter from verses 12 onwards to talk about how the people of Israel should live when they get to the promised land. And in particular, God is at pains to point out that they're not to follow the practices of the people that already live there. Because they're worshipping other gods, they're doing things that are not part of God's design for how he wants his people to live, for how life is meant to be lived. And so he's at pains to point all of this out to Moses. And what we're really reading about in those verses from 12 to 16 is really about a clash of cultures, of the culture of God's people who are following God's ways and trying to live life in the way that he has asked them to and the design that he's made for how life should be lived. Yet living in a culture where that isn't the case. And the challenges and the difficulties that brings. And those challenges and those difficulties have always been with the church, have always been with God's people. You know, God calls us to live one way, but we live in a culture and a society that lives a different way. And there's constant tensions and challenges and difficulties to how we are to manage that. But in the passage here, we read, God is very clear with Moses. He says, firstly, we should expect that difference. We should expect the standards or the culture that God calls us to live by to be different from the society and the culture around us. If not, something's gone a bit wrong somewhere. You know, but also, very clearly, we're called not to compromise. In the verses in 12 to 16, we read about not making a treaty. You know, otherwise, it'll become a snare. You know, and we'll be drawn in and sucked in like water going down a plug hole. We won't be able to escape from it. So it's very clear that we're called also not to compromise. You know, and there are many examples for us today where hopefully you can see where that's true. Where God calls us to live life one way, but the society and the culture that we live in There's plenty of other options of how life can be lived. You know, attitude towards money might be one thing. The pursuit of pleasure might be another thing. The fact that the world revolves around me so much is very common in today's society, but isn't how God calls us to live. You know, all the current attitudes that are, and the shifting sands and the shifting changes over the last few years around attitudes towards sexuality and gender in today's society and culture are at odds with how God has called us to live life. And how do we handle that? How do we manage that? Even the worth of a person being in what they do, which is so prevalent in today's society, is at odds, right? And you know, it's interesting, when someone is saved, when someone moves from not being a Christian to giving their life to Jesus, they start to see this difference, because God opens their eyes to how life is meant to be lived. So if someone is saved from a life where they were addicted maybe to alcohol or drug abuse or many, any other things, you know, they begin to see that actually the truth of God is that that isn't helpful, that isn't right, that isn't how he has designed life to be lived. But the grace and the compassion of God means that we stand with those people and walk with them. On the one hand, yes, this is the truth of how God says life should be lived. But we walk with them with grace and compassion to help them be rescued from that. Now, I can remember years ago in another church, we had a couple who became Christians. And when they became Christians, they were living together. And as they listened to God's word and they got to grips with becoming a Christian, they felt that it was that actually living together wasn't part of God's design. They should really get married. And so, but we exercise, you know, we walked with them on that. We didn't go pointing the finger saying, oh, you should be married straight away if you want to be a Christian. No, we walked with them with grace, hopefully, and forgiveness and compassion on that journey. And actually, they even reached a point where they did want to get married, and they did get married. But you know, holding those things in tension is so important for us, for you and for me, right? If we're to make an impact in the community around us, if the church is really to bring transformation and bring the gospel to have an impact on people's lives in Batemore and Jordan Thorpe and Low Edges, we need to figure this one out, right? How to hold truth clearly and transparently, but how to exercise grace and compassion and mercy clearly and transparently. You know, how do we handle that? And God's word is clear, right? In this passage, it's clear. And there are two things. We shouldn't be surprised. We need to hold to the culture that God has called us to live by, the lifestyle, the values, the design that God has provided, and not be seduced by the culture and society around us. And that is especially true in regard to ourselves, right? And God calls us to live that, same as he's talking to his people here in Exodus 34. But secondly, we're to mirror Jesus, yeah, aren't we? That's what we're called to do. So when we read that our God is gracious and compassionate and abounding in love and faithfulness, we're called to mirror that, especially in regard to others. You know, yes, we can explain God's design on life, and we must do that. Yes, we should be clear about what God has said, you know, how life should be lived. And we should be clear about that. But it's not our job to judge them. No, it's not. Or ostracize them. Or cause them to be, you know, rejected in some way. That's not what we're called to do. But we're called to continue to demonstrate the love, the grace, and the compassion of God on his behalf. And that's always been a challenge for the church. But I think it's a challenge we need to rise to. And, you know, in God's grace ourselves, get a hold of it. Because it's so important if we want to see the gospel have an impact on society today. And so just to finish with, there's three things quickly I just want to pull out that Moses does here that I think help us and are really key in helping you and me manage this fact about the truth of God and what he says about how life should be lived and the grace of God that we need to exercise towards those people that are battling with that in society around us. You know, and the three things are, first of all, we read in verses 8-9 that Moses bows down and worships. Guys, this has to start from a position of submission and surrender to God. For us, for you and for me, right? We need to bow down to God and worship him. Secondly, we read that Moses says, you know, when we go to the promised land, God, you've got to go with us. Now, that absolutely is my prayer. I hope that's your prayer today, that God, as we go forward from here, as we go into the community, we need to be crying out, God, will you go with us? Will you go with us? You know, as we go, our prayer and our cry to God is that he would go with us. And this is really important, right? Because the end of lockdown is not that we're all back here on a Sunday morning. The end of lockdown is that we're all back out doing mission again in community around us. Right? That is what God has called us to do. So we're going to go. And in fact, the next series after the Moses one is about going. So, you know, it's what we're called to do. It's the mission of the church. And so we need to cry out, God, will you go with us? Just like Moses does here, to guide and to show the way. And the third thing that I just close with is that Moses has this incredible, honest self-awareness and self-appraisal of what he is like and what the people are like in front of God. He says, God, we're stiff-necked, right? And it doesn't mean it like that. It means we're arrogant. We're hard-hearted. We stick two fingers up at you. We don't care. We're like that, Lord. We're wicked and we're sinful. You know, and he has this honest self-appraisal before God. And as we stand before God today or when we're praying or whenever, we need to acknowledge truthfully that is what we are like, and that the grace of Jesus has forgiven us. Hallelujah. But I tell you, that self-awareness of what we are really like before God is a great place to go out into the world from and take his love and compassion and mercy as well as his truth. And so as we go out into the world with people living all sorts of lifestyles, making all sorts of life choices that we can see are not part of God's design for his creation, and as the Father's heart cries out because he longs for people to come to know him and discover his love and mercy and compassion, let's be really clear about how we are living before God. The life choices that we are making, are we compromising anywhere? Are we making treaties with things we know we shouldn't be? Have we been seduced by something this world has to offer, and it's diluting our radical pursuit of God? And then secondly, let's start rubbing shoulders with people that live very different lifestyles from ourselves. And instead of avoiding them, instead of judging them, let's be the people that God is calling us to be, to both speak his truth, not in judgment or condemnation, but also to express his compassion and his love and his graciousness that God longs for people to see. Amen.
Yes.